Every one of us have something in common. Every last one of us have been deeply hurt and wounded by other people. And every one of us have had to decide whether we will forgive those people who have wronged us or not. Some of you sitting here have been so wounded by others, the thoughts of forgiving them seems completely unreasonable and undesirable. Others of you are in denial, and you're denying that you have a lack of forgiveness problem, but your body is where it shows up in your anxiety and your worry and your frustration and your relationships. We are in a rapidly changing culture. You hear the words hate constantly. Forgiveness is a national topic. And you're hearing all kind of diverse views. And it can result in major confusion about forgiveness. So there's a second thing we all have in common. Every one of us desperately need to know from God's Word, what is forgiveness? Why should I grant it? How can I have the power to do it? What would motivate me to even consider it? Now here's the good news. Every one of those questions and issues are answered in this one passage. Make this your go-to passage on the subject of forgiveness. Comes right out of the mouth of Jesus. And it's very practical. We're going to make it very practical for you because we're turning into what Jesus said here into four words about forgiveness from the heart. Four C's. Memorize these. Review the passage. Discuss it with your family and friends. Get it into your mindset and your heart. The last word in the whole passage, did you notice what it was? Heart. This is about forgiveness from the heart. If you don't learn to forgive people from your heart, you haven't forgiven them. And Jesus is going to teach us what that looks like. Now, when we talk about forgiveness, here's something else. We all love to receive it. The trouble is passing it along to other people. And if we practice forgiveness from the heart on the authority of God's Word, I can tell you something. You will flourish and you will breathe life into people. But if you refuse to do it, you've lined up with hell and you will disintegrate your soul. And Jesus tells us that. This is serious. Now, we all know we should forgive people. The problem is, what's our motivation and how in the world do we do it? So Jesus gives us the four C's on forgiveness from the heart. The first C is the word forgiveness from the heart is countless. Say that with me. It's countless. It doesn't keep records. It doesn't say, cross the line, never have to forgive you again now, too much. It's countless. Notice Peter. I love Peter. He's always saying stuff that you're thinking. And Peter is listening to Jesus, and here's what Jesus had just said before this. Among the people of God, you're going to sin against each other. And when your brother sins against you, here's what you do. First, you go to your brother. Don't go tell somebody else. Go right to the brother's face. Your motive? You're trying to win your brother. And if he listens, hallelujah. But what do you, if you do and he won't listen? What do? You get two or three others who will confirm every fact, see it from every angle. The objective? Try to win your brother. If he won't listen then, what do? You take it to the church and you confirm every fact. And if he still won't repent, treat him as a Gentile or a tax collector. Now, what does the church do to Gentiles and tax collectors? Loves them and tries to bring them back into the fellowship. Now, that's what Peter just heard. And Peter is thinking, I know several dudes who've wronged me. And as a matter of fact, they've gone way over the number three. And the rabbis teach us, Jesus, you ought to know this. The rabbis teach us that when you hit four, you don't have to forgive them anymore. And they got it from the Bible, from the book of Amos. Because here's what it says. God says Israel has sinned twice, and the third time, you're out. So they said, four times you don't have to forgive. So what do you think about that, Jesus? I'll tell you what, I am such a big-hearted man. Do I have to forgive him seven times? I mean, Jesus, I doubled it and added one. Aren't you proud of me? And Jesus said, oh no, Peter, 70 times 7, 490? Does that mean 491? No, that's not what he means. He is saying it's countless. Here's his point. Forgiveness from the heart doesn't keep count. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love of God in your heart doesn't keep a record of wrongs. You don't make a list. You don't say, okay, that's enough. I'm not forgiving you. Too much. It's countless. Now, why in the world would it be that way? How does God treat you? How many of your sins has He paid for? Even the ones you haven't committed. It is countless. He doesn't count your sins against you. He counted them against Christ. And who do you belong to? Christ. So what is forgiveness from the heart? Countless. Second C he gives us, forgiveness from the heart is costly. It always costs. To forgive somebody, you have to bear the weight of forgiving them. It will cost you. And Jesus himself models it. Look what he does in verse 23 to introduce the parable. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. Now he's talking about the king representing God and his servants representing those in his kingdom, and the kingdom of heaven, a realm over which a king rules. The kingdom of heaven is God's work on our behalf through Christ to redeem us and one day restore everything. When you come to faith in Christ, you just joined His redemption and restoration team. You are His ambassador. You are to represent God. You're to imitate Him. And therefore, forgiving people, it cost God, it will cost you. And then he tells the story, and Jesus is really playing it up. He takes Greek words and stretches them to the max. When it comes to money, the term that was like a gazillion, he throws it in here, 10,000. And then he says talents, highest they could go in currency, a talent. Let me tell you what a talent is. A common laborer to earn a talent, 20 years of labor. 20 years worth. That's a lot. This guy owed 10,000 talents. That's a lot. That's 200,000 years of work for a common laborer. This is the national debt. Now, notice the servant. This is no common servant. There's a king, and the king took out of his resources, took in taxes. And to forgive this guy is going to shake the kingdom, and the king's going to eat it. He is going to pay a price to forgive. And this was no little servant. He was somebody that could lose that much money. So he was overseeing some region. The king, we're not told if it was corruption or incompetence. We don't know. But we do know this. He was going to be thrown in the prison, debtor's prison, and he made a stupid promise. Have mercy on me, I'll pay it back. Give me a break. You're not going to pay that back. And look, this is the heart of God. Look what the king does. He had compassion on him, not disdain. When you study the emotional life of Christ, the number one word used to describe Jesus, compassion. Feel with, understand. We have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. He entered the human race. He knows what it's like. This king had compassion. Let me tell you what happens to us. If you don't forgive somebody and you don't have compassion, here's what we all do. We can relate to it. You think of the one who's offended you and you begin to characterize them. Kind of like a guy who makes cartoons and emphasizes different parts of the face. Liar! That's all you see. Totally ignore the rest of your life. Pfft, you're a liar. Thief! Gossiper! Whatever you want to put in there, because there's no compassion. Do you know what we're doing? I'm excluding you from the human race, you monster. But I'm excluding me from sinners because I'm not a sinner like you. No compassion. Who do we belong to? The compassionate Christ. Forgive. He then released him. Now there's the meaning of forgiveness. It means to release. I'm not going to make you pay. And the king absorbed it himself. That's what forgiveness always does. If you release somebody, you don't make them pay. It hurts. When you remember what they did to you, they got away with it. And if you release them and don't make them pay, it hurts you. You bear the weight. That's what forgiveness does. And that's what God did to us in Christ. And He forgave him. He let him go. When God forgives, people say, well, why can't God just forgive? Because you're not thinking reality. You don't do that. Governments don't do that. God is ultimately perfectly just. You break His law, you must pay or He would not be just. And here's how much God loves you. He paid the price for you in Christ. He entered the human race, took all of your sin, paid for it, gave you a pardon. But somebody had to pay. Hebrews 9:22 says this, without the shedding of blood, the taking of a life, there is no forgiveness. Justice must be satisfied. Jesus shed His blood, satisfied justice. So talk about forgiveness and justice. Justice should be done when a crime takes place. We need just laws. That's the role of the government. And justice is going to a third party and asking for justice. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Forgiveness is in your heart. And if you have revenge instead of forgiveness, here's what you do. I'm going to make you pay. Relationally, emotionally, mentally, I'm going to make you pay. Forgiveness is, I let it go. I release you. I turn you over to God. I release you the way Jesus did it for me. Now, here's our biggest problem in forgiving people. We think they're worse than we are. You cannot refuse to forgive somebody without feeling superior to them. Utterly impossible. You think what they did to you is worse than who you are. And what Jesus is getting at here is wake up. You forgot something. You forgot. Your sin was so bad, it put Jesus on the cross. It cost Him everything. So how bad is your sin? Pretty bad. You're a lot more sinful than you think you are. It cost Jesus His life. And if you're not convinced that you're sinful, the Ten Commandments were given to just show you, look in the mirror. This is the thermometer. You're sick. You can't keep the law. You can't do it. You're self-centered. You're ingrained. You live for your glory, not God's. And Jesus bought you with His blood because forgiveness is costly. Third thing Jesus teaches us, and they get harder as they go, forgiveness is comparative. There's always a comparison. Always. It's comparative. And we gotta look at what's being compared to what. Listen to the text, verse 28. But that slave who was forgiven 10,000 talents, went out and found. It has not penetrated his heart. First thing he does, he goes and he finds a fellow slave who owed him 100 denarii. Look at the comparison. 10,000 talents equal to 200,000 years of labor versus 100 days of work. Massive difference if you compare them. And look what he did. He seized him. He began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So this fellow slave fell to the ground, began to plead, "Have patience with me and I'll repay you." Exact same speech this guy just given. And look at his response. He was unwilling. He threw him into prison until he should pay back what was owed. Look at the comparison. And did you see the next verse? The king calls him, "You wicked slave. You just exposed your heart. It's wicked. I wasted that pardon on you. It never penetrated your heart. And the proof, you won't forgive other people." Now, this ought to put the fear of God in us. If you say, "I believe in Jesus, He died for my sins, I've got my doctrine right," and you won't forgive people, you didn't get it. It never changed your heart. It's just a concept. And Jesus is saying, the evidence is there. You don't know me. Here's what we do when we won't forgive. We laser beam in on the one who did wrong to us, and that's all we see, and we completely ignore the amazing grace poured out on us in Jesus Christ. We focus just on that, and we don't see what Christ did for us, and we get it wrong. Some of you folks have dogs, others love cats. There's a theology there. Because dogs treat you this way. "You love me, pet me, serve me, you must be God." Cats, "You love me, pet me, serve me, I must be God." And this is a cat's heart. "Thank you for forgiving me." "Well, of course. I mean, it's me you're talking about. But don't be asking me to pass that along to somebody else." An unregenerate heart. The comparison. The evidence that you've embraced the forgiveness of God in Christ from the heart, the evidence is that you forgive people who wrong you. And if you're not doing that, it's never touched your heart. Ephesians 4:32-52, powerful passage. "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you." Imitate Him. Be imitators of God and walk in love, just as God loved you in Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:1 gives us a warning. "See to it that no one in the fellowship comes short of the grace of God. See to it that you don't accept the grace of God in vain." Now, what does that mean? It means this. We were created by and for God. We were made to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He is to be our first love, our emotional, mental focus in life. When we come to Christ, that begins. And then somebody wounds and offends us, and we throw that away, and we shift our focus to that jerk who did that to me. And I play a mental record, and I review it over and over, and I characterize them, and I focus on their negative qualities, and I plan revenge, and then I take into me the negative qualities I focused on, and I throw God away. And I've come short of His grace. Basically, I'm telling God this: "Thank you for gracing me. Don't you dare tell me to pass it along to them." It stops here. Short of the grace of God. You become a Dead Sea Christian. The Sea of Galilee in Israel, full of marine life because water flows in and water flows out. It goes right down to the Dead Sea, and it's called dead because nothing lives there. And you're only taking in. You won't give out. Now, so some of you are thinking, "All right, all right, all right. I'll forgive people, but..." only when they ask for it. Well, 2 Corinthians 5:19 on you. Well, what's 2 Corinthians 5:19? Glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Listen to this. God says, and you are to proclaim to people, this is the gospel, you can tell every person this. God is not counting your sins against you. That's the gospel. Why can we tell people that? Because He counted your sins against Christ. And He's offering you a pardon. God is not counting your sins against you. Trust in Christ. He's paid for it if you'll only receive it. Now, does God forgive? Yes. Did He pay the price in advance? Yes. Do you benefit if you don't receive it? No. So forgive people even if they don't ask for it, because you're supposed to imitate God. You're on His redemption and restoration team. That's what you're to do. And every time you're offended against, automatic, make a comparison. This is what you did to me. This is how much I've been forgiven. And it'll melt your heart when you realize what Christ did for you. Now let's admit it. Forgiving people is a process. And some of you have been so deeply wounded, you need counseling and support and help. And we all need it constantly. So it's a process. Now I do a lot of counseling, and a lot of it is on forgiving people. And I wrote a covenant of reconciliation. At the bottom of your notes, you can get it on our website, 5 steps. And by God's grace, every time I've used this and people cooperated, I've seen the amazing work of God. The first 2 steps, everybody does. It's the last 3 that are the game changers. Here are the first 2 steps. 2 people are offended, trying to get together. You get them to understand each other. Let me see it from your perspective and repeat it back. I don't have to agree, but at least we're understood. Good. 2nd step, forgive each other. I release you. I forgive you. I won't make you pay. 3rd step, often left out. You walk out of the room after understanding and forgiving, and your little mental record goes right back and starts playing it again. And that's sinful. So the 3rd step is you make a covenant with each other. I'm not playing the record anymore. I refuse to accuse you. From now on, I'll intercede for you. I'll treat you the way Jesus treats me. It'll start right here. And I promise, and you promise. It gets worse. If you've played the record, here's what else will happen. When that person comes to your mind, you play the record, guess what comes out of your mouth? A bad report. And you paint them as a demon and you as a saint. So part of reconciliation is to look each other and say, I won't give a bad report on you anymore. That stops right here. Not going to do it. The last step, you're going to slip. What do? I make a commitment. I'll go right through these steps again. I want to be at peace with you. Now, there's some folks, no matter what you do, they won't accept it. You can't make peace. But you can forgive them from your heart. And here's what Jesus is teaching. Forgiveness from the heart is countless. It's costly. It's comparative. And don't miss this one. It's consequential. It has major consequences. It will affect your life now and through eternity. Look at the consequences. 34 and 35. His Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. Now this always puts the fear of God in me. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you, as each of you does not forgive his brother from the heart. Consequences. 2 other times in the gospel, Jesus said the exact same thing. Now what he's getting at is this. If you forgive people, it's evident that the gospel has penetrated your heart and you're changed. And if you simply won't do it, it's never gotten down into your heart. And there are eternal consequences that start now. I'll hand you over to the torturers. Now, if you're in a place where you're not forgiving somebody, you know exactly what this means because you're torturing yourself. Here's how it works. I become three things when I think of that jerk that did me wrong. First, I'm a gardener. How could I be a gardener? Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one's come short of the grace of God and no root of bitterness in the heart spring up and defile many. I just plant the seed of bitterness in my heart and I defile people. Second, you become a movie maker. Oh, it's a good movie. You're the hero and the saint and they are the villain. And thirdly, you become a reporter. I get all the facts. And I'll tell people garbage on you. And you have consequences. You are tortured in your soul. It pushes God and everybody else out. Mayo Clinic, November the 23rd, 2011. Excellent article on forgiveness. Listen to how it starts. When someone you care about hurts you, you can hold on to anger, resentment, and thoughts of revenge, or embrace forgiveness and move forward. They're right on the money when they say this. Forgiveness means different things to different people. Generally, however, it involves a decision to let go of resentments and thoughts of revenge. That's exactly what Jesus taught. Then their research, they list 8 positive things that will flood into your life if you forgive people. Healthier relationships. Improved mental health, less anxiety, stress and hostility, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, stronger immune system, improved heart health, improved self-esteem. And what happens if you won't forgive? Here's what will happen. You'll bring anger and bitterness into every relationship and every new experience. You'll become so wrapped up in the wrong that you cannot enjoy the present. You'll become depressed and anxious. You'll feel that life lacks meaning or purpose, and you're at odds with your spirit and with God. You'll lose your value and enriching connections with others. Jesus could have written that. That's what he's talking about. It's consequential. Now, what's the last word in this text? What is it? Heart. Heart is mentioned 800 times in your Bible. That is a theme. 800 times. Biblically, the heart means this. The core of your identity. What you go to get a Savior and a Lord. Where you find your significance, security, and hope. Your heart always finds that. And Jesus is saying, if you won't forgive from the heart, because Christ is your treasure, then the consequences are eternal. They're negative because it leads to hell. But let me tell you, there's a positive if you do it. If this is the habit of your life, the power of God is unleashed no matter where you are or what happened to you. I'll prove it. November the 23rd, 2015, Time Magazine. We get it at our home. I read it that morning, and it jarred me. Big, bold, black letters. What it takes to forgive a killer. And then the article, 24 pages, talked about forgiveness. And it preached the gospel. Listen to this. The article describes that on June 17th, 2015, in Charleston, South Carolina, a young man was welcomed into the Wednesday night Bible study of Emmanuel Church. He sat through the Bible study. It was on Mark 4, the sower and the seed. At the end of the Bible study, he took out his .45 caliber handgun and systematically murdered 9 people, starting with a pastor. He called himself a white supremacist. And he intended to provoke a race war in the heart of the old Confederacy. Within 36 hours of the killings, family members of the victims stood in a small country courtroom and expressed mercy and forgiveness to the killer. The amazing grace shown the killer was a divine intervention. It launched a grace movement instead of a race war. It electrified the nation, ended a debate over the Confederate flag that came down from the State House, and spurred countless other celebrations of God's amazing grace, not hate. So after the shooting, Nancy Gibbs, editor of Time, sent two of her best reporters to get the rest of the story. They fully immersed themselves in the community from August the 2nd to September the 15th, going to every Bible study, every church service, took tours, attended rallies, drove the routes some of the victims had taken, and they conducted 150 interviews. Some lasted 2 hours, 3 hours, 8 hours. Some spread into weeks. And they carefully traced the amazing grace that the survivors had shown the killers, and they traced it back to the ultimate source. Now, this is Time magazine, their reporters reporting on the source. Listen to this. Quote, "The forgivers of Charleston trace their beliefs to a communion of forebearers. This culture has been nurtured in churches that promise someday the vindication of the just, the liberation of the captive, the exaltation of the downtrodden. They worship a teacher who forgave those who crucified him, even as he was dying on the cross." It went on for 24 pages, and they focused in on forgiveness. Listen to another quote. "For months in the aftermath of Mother Emanuel killings, during scores of interviews across dozens of hours, the question of forgiveness was scrutinized and tweezed from every direction. And this is the conclusion. What happened after Charleston was not a matter of snap judgments or ill-chosen words. It was an expression of genuine hearts. The 9 lost lives belonged to church folk, Wednesday people, true believers, and their family members in all their own ways sought to honor that and give them a victory instead of the killer's hatred." Tell me that's not powerful. That's the church. And that's what Jesus is talking about. So let's make it really personal. Who's on your list that you're counting? Who is it that you're refusing to pay the cost of forgiveness to? You're making them pay. Who is it that when you think of them, you only see what they did and ignore God's grace to you? Who is it that is causing you to not face the consequences of your lack of forgiveness? The wisest thing you could do is come running to Christ, repent, and forgive them. So let's go back to where we started. Forgiveness from the heart is countless, costly, comparative, and consequential. Now here's what will make it sing. This is what pierced my heart. Always put Jesus in there. Put Him in there. Look what happens. His forgiveness toward you, countless. "I'm not counting your sins against you. I put them on me. You're forgiven. Accept the pardon." Countless. "It's costly. I was willing to give my life for you. I died in your place. I took your hell. I was judged for you. It cost me everything to forgive you." Don't forget that. It's comparative. Compare that sin against you to the sin you've had against God and look at the difference and repent. And it's consequential. If you will do this, you'll enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you do not, it's never pierced your heart. And you're going to hell with all your lack of forgiveness. Repent. So I want to go there. Every one of us slip. You go through a sermon like this, you're going to get tested. Get ready, folks. It's coming. You're going to have an opportunity to trust the Lord with somebody you don't want to forgive. So right now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get right with Jesus. We're going to ask Him to change our hearts. We're going to pray over each other. We're going to ask Him to bring revival to us. We are going to be part of the solution. Amen? So our elders and prayer teams are coming across the front. And we're just going to ask people to come and be prayed over. But there are three kinds of people in the room. Ask you to respond. Some of you are really struggling with forgiveness. And just to have somebody pray over you and to admit it will move you down a little bit further. Come and be prayed over. Some of you have really wronged other people and you need to go and ask forgiveness and make it right. And you've been putting it off. Prayer will move you down the road. And some of you have never come to Christ. You've never in your heart received His forgiveness. Come do it. I'm going to pray, then we'll stand and sing, and I invite you to come and let's be praying over each other. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your Word, for its clarity. I thank You for Your amazing grace. And I pray, Lord, that starting with me, this church would be people who forgive and are imitating our Savior. I pray now as we worship and pray for each other, Your Holy Spirit would bring deep and lasting healing and restoration. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship and invite you to come.